show surprises. Surprise.
Jacqueline Follet.
Mm-hmm.
How lovely it is for you to join our little gathering.
I wouldn't miss it for the world. It's my favorite event.
And we're so glad that you do.
No. None of that works.
No, mm-mm. The syntax isn't syntaxing, mm-mm. But...
The accent isn't accenting.
And we've got to have a third one.
Diction isn't dictioning.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, surprises. Are you a fan?
I am, but my brain doesn't usually allow me to have them.
Oh.
Because I feel like I'm like got a high degree of pattern recognition.
Pause. We just need to acknowledge that this is a backdoor brag. I can't watch American Idol because I have perfect pitch. I don't usually get to be surprised because I'm so smart and I figure it out all the time.
Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. my neurodivergence.
I mean, I think it probably is.
Yeah.
You do have an absolutely unmatched ability to recognize patterns. Like,
so I don't know that it's a backdoor brag because someone else is bragging for me right now. So I'd like to have it stricken from the record, Your Honor. Yeah, no, I do. I think I have a high degree of pattern recognition. So I'm like, I've been surprised once.
Okay. And how did that make you feel?
Angry. I was very angry. I actually said it out loud. It was at a school function.
Okay.
Because my very dear friend, who I used to work with on the musicals, who was the director and I was the tech director for like 9 years, she absolutely surprised me with this beautifully touching tribute of having worked for 10 years on the shows at the school. And mm-hmm. completely caught me off guard.
Yeah.
And it was because my brain was too occupied by other things. Like, she knew what she was doing because mm-hmm. she was like, Mike's exhausted just like I am.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to have no idea. And it hit me yep. like a truck. And I was very mm-hmm. touched, but also like, I think I got the mic and I was like, I'm actually very angry right now because mm-hmm. I did not expect this.
Well, I have to say, because I was
you were in on it too.
There, and I was also in on it because who you were talking about is a mutual friend of ours that I met through you, obviously, because you were coworkers. She also is a mutual friend of many people I know.
Because the universe is small.
Because the universe is small. And no, we conspired. We schemed
mm-hmm.
To make that happen. She knew that if it happened when it did, that your brain would be in all of the other places.
Right.
And that's why she was like, I've got to make this happen right now.
Mm-hmm.
And she did like a pro.
Mm-hmm.
It was so well done.
It was very well done. What about you? Have you ever been surprised?
I have. I have been surprised.
By that outfit you're wearing.
I don't think it takes a lot to surprise me. I really appreciate it when it does happen. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I'm being like, oh, my, don't you want to surprise me with a birthday? But like, I'm never like that, right? Then the thing is, like, I, for a long time, this is something that changed, I'm not going to lie, after years of therapy. But for a long time, I was never interested in celebrating my own birthday. I just was like, no, I'm not going to do anything. And I'm like, I don't remember other people's birthdays because I don't care about my own. And like, if I ever have kids, I'm going to make them volunteer for the whole day at some place so that they can remember that like the world is bigger than them. I mean, I used to say stuff like that when it came to one's birthday.
Well, this was prior to us meeting. I'm like, you've like assigned your
Voluntold your imaginary kids. I think that was totally rooted in just like not wanting to celebrate myself. You know what I mean? Like
not having value for the beauty
correct.
That you bring into the world.
Sure, exactly. All that stuff. And so that has changed. But the time I think I was very much surprised was my friend and co-writer, Tanya. She listens to the show, shout out. I had very, very briefly, just like in passing, said, oh yeah, no one would ever throw a surprise party for me. And she took it on as like a personal project mm-hmm. to do so. And so we had taken a show to the Edinburgh Fringe. I would say like in December after the Fringe, I was back down in the South and South Mississippi where all those folks were. Tanya had called a gathering, wanted to have a meeting just to do a postmortem. And so we're having a production meeting and doing a postmortem. I did clock that that like people had shown up dressed a little better than I thought they would be dressed for a production meeting. And in the middle of it, about 20 people came into her house and they were all my family members. And they gave me a surprise birthday party.
Oh.
Like my mom, my aunts, other friends. And to tell you about sort of my journey, I immediately went to like...
This is an intervention.
No. I immediately went to like, oh my God, I'm so sorry you like drove all this way and like you did all of this just for like a birthday party for me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We've learned and we've grown since then. But
sure.
But I was truly surprised and that meant the world to me because I never thought anybody would do that.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze at the national parks.
Father, you'll follow you there.
At the national parks. At the national parks. Follow you, I'll follow you there.
To acknowledge that while visiting and hiking the land also known as Pinnacles National Park, we were on the traditional and stolen land of the Popolauchem, Shalone, and Ohlone people.
All right. Well, in rare form, this is one of those times where the episodes that we are currently recording are directly following in chronological time the episodes that we just recently released. So
that's right.
This suite of episodes is on Pinnacles National Park, which is what we did in the spring of 2023.
Five.
Four. 2024.
Hold on. No. We did that this spring, 2025.
What is time?
Immediately following Death Valley, which we also did in this spring of
what is time?
2025, this current year when we are recording this.
But not when this is released.
No, it will
almost
be released in January. Mm-hmm. No, only like 7 or 8 months ago. Did
Nine
we,
or 10 months. Six eight, or seven
we
months.
We were there in April. We were there in April of 2025, mm-hmm. which was not a year ago. And so this is hot off the presses.
Mm-hmm.
We don't love to be right. Neither of us. But it is true. We are heading into Pinnacles National Park. And we did go there immediately following Death Valley National Park. And we did drive from Death Valley to Pinnacles in one day. We left Death Valley, the Furnace Creek campground, at around 7 a.m. We made some bathroom stops. We made a food stop, a grocery run. And all of this took about 10 hours to get from Death Valley
Southern
to Pinnacles.
Southern California to like Mid-Coast California.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Which Pinnacles is kind of close by to Yosemite because you would fly into Fresno is the closest place to fly into in order to get to either one of those. When we arrived at Pinnacles, we checked in at the camp store and headed to the campsite because we were, of course, again, camping because Becky and Cynthia were staying in the camper. We were staying in a tent. We got our information, checked in to head to our campsite.
This was quite an exciting little park for us. What were you excited about?
I want to begin by saying that Pinnacles National Park is tucked away and like, you know, it takes a little while to get there. And so I was excited to be in this very remote park because it's driving in. I was like, I had no idea. But for me personally, my excitement came from the fact that this is one of only three parks where they release California condors.
Mm-hmm.
The largest bird that we got in the lower 48. Yes, the birder in me was very excited.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, very excited.
Yeah.
Now, would we see them? We did not know. But were they there? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. What are the Pinnacles?
What are the Pinnacles?
For which the park is named.
So Pinnacles means like a, it's sort of like a type of rock that's like really high, like that shoots out of the earth in
like
a,
an outcropping.
Yeah, kind of like that. But it's like big and it's like
it's not a mountain per se,
it's
but it's
not
like,
a mountain, but yeah. It's similarly sized.
Yeah.
I mean it, you know. But it's not technically a mountain. It's just like rock coming out. And
like juts.
Juts. And there's a ton of that here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. When we drove in, I think one of the funniest things was the ranger who talked to us right when we pulled in had like a, like, oh, you're from Montana. And they're like, yeah. And like, and they're, and we were talking and he's like, anybody else in the car from any other state? And we're like, oh yeah, we're from New Jersey. He's like, I am too. And his license plate, his car was right there with his license plate on it. So there are Jersey people everywhere.
Everywhere.
Folks.
Jersey's everywhere.
Jersey's everywhere.
Jersey's everywhere. That's right. And ain't no place compared to Jersey. Mm-hmm.
This was like a really also very beautiful, quaint campground, considering like the barren sort of campground that we had just come from. Not that Furnace Creek was bad, but this was like
it
magical.
It was lush. It
yeah.
was magical.
Yeah.
When we pulled up to our campsite, we were right on a creek. It was evening time. And like when we were setting up, we could literally hear the frogs doing their thing. Like I think it was frog mating time. I'm technically speaking. But like you could hear them and like, you know, there were deer going by the creek. I mean, it was so picturesque. And there was a trail right there. After we got set up, we did dinner. We're just sort of like relaxing because we did plan on doing big hiking the next day. But we could hear some kind of gigantic gathering happening on another in another area of the campground. So Cynthia and I went to be sleuths and we took our headlamps and walked our way over
to
it was loud. We walked our way over to what was happening and there seemed to be like an outdoor amphitheater and a bunch of either college students or like seniors in high school were all sitting there and they were like watching like people play guitars and sing songs and like we even like we turned our headlamps off and we walked closer.
You were voyeurs.
We were. And then finally people like started to turn their headlamps toward us and saw that we were just standing there listening and we could not figure out what it was. It did not seem religiously affiliated because the music was not religious. It didn't seem like anything anybody was saying was religiously connected, so it didn't seem like a retreat, but it could be like a retreat in a way that is like a non-religiously affiliated retreat.
Sure, yeah.
So, but it did look like it was either high school or a college trip.
Yeah, we would discover a little bit more of that the following day. But we were a little perplexed because after setting up the car, now we had already had some issues with the car with lost keys in Death Valley and some issues with the camper not working to its full extent on this trip. But we had taken a walk and come back and Becky's like, I can't get the car to start. We're like, oh, okay, well, that's not great. We had to do some troubleshooting very kindly.
We had a neighbor at the campsite who...
We had tried a jumper box that Becky had, which
and
did
it didn't
nothing.
Work. No, but the neighbor came over with a car and jumped the car, and it was what we needed.
Right. Becky and I took a ride in the car, like, and we saw all manner of wildlife. Like, we drove kind of up to where we were going to launch our hike the next day because we wanted the car to run so that, you know, the battery, like, was
recharged
and doing what it needed to do. And it was definitely, like, a night ride where I was like, I'll drive, it's fine. But I think there was a little bit of, you know, when something like that happens, believe me, we've been there when we were in Shenandoah and my car died and then we were driving in DC and my side view mirror hit something and I was like, I just want to go home. Like, it just, like, everything kind of soured. And I think Becky was sort of in that moment where it was just kind of like, this isn't what I signed up for and I'm really, like, you know. And I was like, it's okay, we'll be fine. And ultimately we were. Now the thing about Pinnacles, once we got back, we had just come from 100 degree weather.
And now it was very cold.
And
chilly.
During the daytime, Pinnacles was going to be just fine. But at night,
it was chilly.
It was very, very cold. And it was like we had to sort of prepare for that. Apparently, Pinnacles is not the park to go to in the dead of the summer because you will just roast there.
You will. Yeah, it's true.
This was like a sweet spot of like spring to fall. Spring and fall are good, but it gets very, very, because of where it's in, where it's at, in between a valley or in a valley, it gets very cold at night. And yeah. I don't think either of us were as adequately prepared as we would have liked to have been.
Well, I mean, I definitely wore...
I wore my pants to bed.
All of my clothes.
Yeah, tights, pants.
Tights, jacket. Pants, jacket, hoodie, head to toe. All, like, I think I wore all pairs of my socks. But I was cozy and I felt great. Which led us to the next morning. And the next morning, we were heading out in order to hike quite a bit of the park that day. We test the car, still cranks as usual. It's great. And we leave our campsite around 7:30 a.m. The campground and the area where we were going to hike weren't very far from one another, just to maybe 15 minutes down the road or so. So we drive over to the parking area where we're going to start. We get to the Bear Gulch Nature Center, which is where we were going to begin the day. And we gear up and we head out. If one wanted to and was ambitious, one could probably see the majority of the trails and pinnacles in a single day. However, there's a lot of incline, so therefore it was better to have a couple of days. So we're really glad we had a couple of days because...
You don't have to do it at breakneck pace.
There's quite a bit of interconnection when it comes to the trails and pinnacles. But there's only one section. Pinnacles is one area, and it's not a very big park. So it's really compact. And so there's the trails that go through it, and that's it. That's the whole park. And so we wanted to see quite a few things on this first day. And so we strategized as to what would be the best way to get there to maximize seeing as much as we could.
And aside from hiking and being a bird watcher's paradise, Pinnacles is also a big kind of mecca for rock climbing as well. There was a lot of climbing routes that were available here. And we saw a lot of people with gear doing different climbing. We didn't actively see anyone climbing, but we did have a lot of people pass us with climbing gear.
From the Bear Gulch Nature Center parking area, we start off on a trail, and it is unnamed, but it's a little trail that's only like 0.3 miles long that simply connects this parking area to the Moses Spring parking area. Short nature walk through the trees, lots of green plants around here.
There are some picnic tables on either side of the trail to a creek that's down to our right.
We see a Stellar's Jay while we were walking. Now, this is all I want to say about Stellar's Jays is that they're so common over on the West Coast. We have none of them on the East Coast. So when we see Stellar's Jays, they're really fun. We love them. In the same way that like the West Coast doesn't really have blue jays, we love when we can see a Stellar's Jay. The thing that I remember about this morning is that immediately everything is green. Everything is so green. It's like the pinnacles are dark brown. All of the vegetation is just like bright, bright, covered in like you can tell like it's just like it's had good rain green, you know?
Yeah, it was definitely like springy green. And it was a big antithesis to what we had experienced in Death Valley from the perspective of dry, sandy, and hot. So it was very much so like not a culture shock necessarily, but like definitely a visual shock considering what we had spent like 4 days in to come here and have it be a completely different
situation from Death Valley.
Which is incredible. The incredible part about California is like there's so much variety.
There's moss covering gigantic boulders, pinnacles that have fallen, ferns. And even on the little connecting trail from one parking area to another, we're getting all of this. But we finally get to the Moses Spring parking area, and we use the restrooms. They're in this little old building that was there. After doing this, we head up the Moses Spring Trail, which is right there off of this parking area, heading off to the right. And Cynthia and I spot an acorn woodpecker. And so Cynthia asks, oh, is that the woodpecker that burrows acorns and trees? And it is. So an acorn woodpecker, it's incredible because what they do is like you'll see an entire tree covered in holes.
It looks like bullet holes.
It does. It looks like bullet holes, or it looks, you know, like
Swiss cheese.
Almost sponge, like covered in holes. Mm-hmm. And then what they do all day is just move acorns from one hole to another, or they'll like, that's how they save them and preserve them. And so this was the first of many acorn woodpeckers we were going to see in Pinnacles National Park.
After about 0.2 miles on the Moses Spring Trail, we get to a fork and we head to the left here. Had we gone to the right, we would have taken another unnamed connector trail. And again, there is a lot of interconnectedness here within the park, specifically in this area where the vast majority of the trails are. So,
and the reason we head to the left here is because the first thing we want to see is the Bear Gulch Caves, mm-hmm. which are coming up.
Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of gentle incline. And to the right, we can see some lower pinnacles. Ahead of us, there are views of some of the very, very high pinnacles. We start to see a little bit more variation in elevation and also formation of rock, because we're fairly deep into the forest here with some breaks here and there for us to kind of see some of the higher ranges. But this is where we get to see a little bit more kind of rockiness as we're moving along. There are tons of high boulders here with moss on them, and Cynthia spots some monkey flowers as we're moving.
This is a really great park for people who are plant nerds, wildlife and vegetation nerds, as well as bird nerds, because Cynthia is spotting things right and left that she doesn't see normally.
Yeah.
And letting us in on it. And I'm hearing birds that I do not hear normally.
Right.
And there are bird sounds everywhere. And again, it's green everywhere. And because there are birds everywhere, like, I can't visually spot them. I'm like using Merlin to identify them.
Sure.
But I can't see them all the time. It was here that I encountered another hiker with music playing from a speaker in his bag. This is not bear country, for the record. Literally, as he walks by, all the birds fly away.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is what I'm talking about. You know, I'm sorry. I've had it with that. I have had it with people playing speakers on trails. If you're not in bear country where you're trying to protect yourself, there's no reason.
Put your AirPods in or what have you. Or just enjoy
just
the sounds
to
of nature.
Nature. Yeah.
That's maybe why you're there, that, baby girl.
Exactly.
Exactly. After moving past him, arrive at the entrance to the Bear Gulch Caves. And these are not caves that are inside the earth. Rather, they're created by the fallen pinnacles that have essentially created areas that feel like they're subterranean caves.
And with that, let's take our first break. Hey, y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right. It's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season one is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Since we're diving into caves, Mike, we're playing the vault.
Great.
And the category today is three types of / flavors of cookies. You can only save three cookies. What three cookies are you saving? Three go into the vault, the rest gone forever.
Is this like store-bought cookies or is it?
Correct.
Okay, store-bought cookies. All right. Double stuffed Oreos, Nutter Butters,
mm-hmm.
and pecan sandies.
Great.
Pecan sandies.
Thank you. Sorry. That is correct. Yes. But I think what you need to say is pecan sandies. That's what we decided. Or did we say pecan sandras?
Sure.
That works too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And how about you?
I am not going store-bought. I'm going just general.
I thought that was what you gave
I mean,
category.
You could save store-bought.
Oh, well.
Great. Do you want to have a different answer then?
No, that's fine. I'll deal with my store-bought.
No, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I'll deal with my store-bought. So here are my three. I am saving the classic chocolate chip. We have to have that cookie.
Sure.
Period. The snickerdoodle.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to have her too. And then the final one, and this may be controversial, but I don't care. It's the oatmeal cookie with the icing on the top.
Oh, okay. Not a lace cookie, but a natural.
Not a lace oatmeal cookie, like an oatmeal cookie with the icing on the top. I love those. I do love an oatmeal cookie. I think oatmeal cookies are better without raisins, but that's just me. But I love it when it's got the icing that's hardened on the top.
Great.
And that's the vault.
So the Bear Gulch Caves. We were instructed for this trip to bring headlamps because we were going to need them for this particular situation. So we had packed them in our bags this day. We put them on. We enter into the cave.
Again, this isn't an actual subterranean cave. So calling it a cave is technically incorrect. However, what has happened is these pinnacles have fallen from way up high down way below, and this pile of pinnacles has created a passageway.
Give me another P.
Passing through these pieces of pinnacle that...
that are partially protruding from the planet.
Period.
Having done now a decent amount of caves in all three.
It did feel like one.
And all three of the caves, the big caves in the NPS, Carlsbad, Wind Cave, and Mammoth Cave, it did feel like a cave. It felt like a subterranean cave.
Without a doubt.
This like hit my buttons in all the right areas because it was like, oh, this is like an adult jungle gym situation. It's like we get a little bit more adventure here than just hiking on the trail.
Because immediately in this cave, there was crouching and some stairs that we had to go through. When we climbed the end of the section, we have to climb a set of stairs that take us to this tiny little outlet above where we get like a brief outside moment. We take a photo here and then we continue on. As we walk out a bit, there is like a tremendous view of the pinnacles from this little outlet we're in. And we can see some carabiners from a rock climbing route that is nearby. We take a moment here to like delayer because we're noticing it's starting to get a little bit warmer. Then we continue on to more caves.
As we duck back into the caverny, cavey, pinnacle situation, we put our headlamps back on. This tunnel that we're going through has a little bit more light passing through it than the one we had just come through. Cynthia and I do a little bit of exploring around some of the boulders. Since there's more light here, we're able to see pieces of above ground. It looks like, oh, well, you could maybe go up that way, or maybe you could come down from somewhere up there and here. It seemed like while there was a kind of prescribed path for us to putter on, just continuing with our piece here, there were passageways that would partake you into places that you could never ponder. At pinnacles.
It's true. We ended up in an area inside of these caves where you and Cynthia were kind of hiking your own hike, and then Becky and I were hiking our own hike, which is common at this point. But we could hear you, but we couldn't see you, and you didn't seem to be nearby anywhere we could see, and so that was a little bit strange. Becky and I are hiking, and then we find this little sign, which I think is probably still there, that says, "You are so loved."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to take a moment.
And baby girls out there in the world, you are.
You are so loved.
Mm-hmm.
You are. You really are. We do mean that. Because I am a bird nerd, I have with me my camera because I was like, and my, it's like a, one of those like kind of beginner DSLRs. It's doing great for me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you do great work with it. You were like, I'm not going to miss the pinnacles or the California Pondors.
That's it. What preposterous that would potentially per tail.
Per tail. Exactly. Right.
I have my camera. There's this tiny little bird on this boulder that's near. And I was like, oh my God, I have to capture this moment. I don't know. There was something about how beautiful and soft this bird was. And the light hit this bird so perfectly. Like I can't even believe.
Like Drew Barrymore.
The shot that I got which we will share on social media and on our Instagram. The shot of this bird, when I tell you there is literally zero retouching that has been done to this photo. It just like all kind of hit perfectly. It was great. So do please enjoy the picture of that precious, pretty purd.
Purd.
Mm-hmm. It was a junco. And Junkos are, we have them here in the Northeast, I think even more so in the West, but they are ground nesters. So they make their nests on the ground. So junkos are usually on the ground. And so it's not a far stretch for it to be here on a rock near humans.
Eventually, as we wind through the caves, they lead us out to a section of stairs that run along one of the pinnacle walls. And as we climb the stairs, we find ourselves at the top of a hill. And right in front of us is a decently sized body of water.
That's right. And this body of water is called the reservoir. Those stairs, those were like, it was like a roller coaster set of stairs. It was like all the way up and then down and then all the way up and then down. And then we were here in front of this reservoir. We decide like we want to go down, check out the reservoir, and also maybe like take a break to like put on some sunscreen.
And with that, let's take our second break.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, the drag king,
Curtis E. Service.
Curtis E. Service. And what does the E stand for?
Exemplary.
Curtis Exemplary. Well, we need a name for Curtis. Curtis is his first name. What is his middle name?
I don't know. The E is just E. He's like Prince. He doesn't need to be described.
I think it stands for something. Ennis. Curtis Elizabeth Service.
Ennis. Curtis Ennis Service.
I mean, it works, right? Mm-hmm.
So I need Ennis to service me.
He is in his service, right? Which he does. So Curtis E. Service, who is he and what kind of drag king is he?
He's a turndown king. It's like he's got pillows. He's got mints to place upon them.
Oh.
He's got all the towel tricks to make your animals, your towels feel like topiary animals.
Oh, look at that.
And he steals your sunglasses and puts them on them.
I like, see.
He's a room service king.
I love that. I'm into that. Mm-hmm. I feel good about that.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think the gag is that he does that in like any space that he's in. He turns any like
he turns it down.
If you're at a restaurant, if you're like at the bar seeing his drag performance, he can do that for you at your table or at your booth, wherever you're sitting, right? Everything can be like an
God,
elevated
we should be
experience.
So privileged to have booths to sit in.
That was the stretch. Your Honor, she's reaching.
Jesus Christ. But I mentioned like having a Christmas and it's like, oh my God, we should be so privileged to have Christmas.
You did say coming down the stairs to see presents under the tree. And there are a lot of assumptions that are in that. One, that you have a two-story home. And two, that you have a tree and that there are presents underneath. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of assumptions.
Yeah.
Y'all, this is... you said that in our first episode, our second episode, something like that we recorded back in the day of like 2018.
When time meant something.
When time meant something. Actually, no, it was 2019 when we started. And,
no, girl, we started in 2018.
This is a bit that started long ago, back when we first started recording episodes in 2018, because that is something you said, and that was how I responded. I was
the privilege. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And now you were so scarred by that you need to bring it up as often as you can.
Yeah, because you don't still throw it in my face when I slip up.
What song does Courtesy Service lip sync to?
If you say yakety yak, I'm going to beat you with this microphone.
Yakety yak.
Is it Money, Money, Money by ABBA?
I like that. I like that.
And
then, yeah. And then I think his merch is mints.
Yeah.
With like his face on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Maybe the actual mint has his face on it. I feel good about that. So Thaddeus and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
Courtesy service.
After coming out of the Bear Gulch Caves area, which again aren't caves, there are pinnacles that have created cave-like areas.
I love this disclaimer every time.
We head down to the reservoir, and it is like this gorgeous, picturesque pond with pinnacles all around shooting up into the sky, and also like green growing up all around. And there are also some gorgeous trails overhead that mm-hmm. we can see from where we're sitting here.
We sit for a snack here for a bit. There are some bugs that are on the plants that are in the water.
And they're very interesting bugs. And like they are bugs that we don't normally see, but we were curious about them and definitely got some photos of them. And we also noticed a scrub jay, which is, we saw a Mexican jay when we were in Big Ben. And scrub jays and Mexican jays often get confused for each other, but this was firmly a scrub jay. So the water here is serene. There is this little brown squirrel mm-hmm. that like is getting a little too close for comfort and wanted the snacks.
Yeah, it was a little much like the chipmunk at the top of Angel's Landing on Zion. Like, oh, I know that I'll be able to get food from these folks.
That's right.
So I'm just going to sidle up real close.
And look cute.
And so not have any fear.
He was like eating grass like a fiend. Mm-hmm. He was like gobbling up grass near mm-hmm. us. But of course, we do not feed him because you do not.
He was
not.
Trying to get in our bags.
Yeah.
Like truly like to climb in our bags. We had to keep picking them up because he was going for, he knew that the food was there.
So we meet some other hikers here and chat with them for a little bit. And then we think about what is next, because there are a number of places we could go here. We are going to have to go up this one trail called the Rim Trail next in order to get to anywhere we want to go.
Well, to get any elevation, really.
We do know that we want to get up high, and it is important to get up high if we have any hope of seeing California condors. Okay, Mike, do we want to put just this section, the Trails of Pinnacles National Park, on the Karen Stone scale? This was
the Bear Gulch Caves.
A very short hike, which one could do and go right back to the parking lot.
Sure. Yep.
Right. We're talking like from the Bear Gulch Nature Center. This is maybe like 2 miles in, maybe. And then you would go through the caves and then you could circle back. Mm-hmm. So I would probably put this, because the caves take some hands and feet.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this a 6.
Okay. I totally get that. I'm saying 4 only because, yes, while there is some navigating to do, it's not a level of difficulty that feels insurmountable if you are not someone that has difficulty with tight spaces or mobility issues. So that's why I'm going with a 4.
Great. So 10 out of 20 Karen mm-hmm. Stones.
And now let's end our episode like we do all of our episodes with some Jeopardy-style trivia.
All right, who should start us off?
I'll get going. So my title of my Jeopardy is Caves in Literature. And this is all about caves from literary works.
Great.
Okay, great. For 100, the allegory of the cave by this Greek philosopher demonstrates the journey from ignorance to enlightenment as people chained to a wall in a cave mistake shadows for reality, but upon escape realize they are mere illusions.
So this is a cave in a film.
No. It's Caves in Literature.
Caves in Literature.
The allegory of the cave by this Greek philosopher. I'm looking for the Greek philosopher.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
I described what the book
got
was
it,
about.
Got it.
Or the,
who is
the manuscript was about.
Plato.
That's right. Plato's allegory of the cave.
Got it.
For 200, this intrepid, homeward-bound Greek warrior and his crew stumble upon an island cave filled with a bounteous feast, but become trapped when they realize it is the home of a cyclops, disguising themselves in sheepskin and escaping with the flock that the cyclops tends to guarantees their escape.
Who is Odysseus?
That's correct.
From the Odyssey by Homer.
Exactly. For 300, these two title characters, penned by Mark Twain, end up discovering $12,000 worth of gold in a cave system that another character, Injun Joe, had hid there.
Who is the kid in King Arthur's court. I'm kidding. I'm joking. It's a Confederate Yankee in King Arthur's court. Isn't that what Mark Twain wrote? Who is Tom Sawyer and Huck Finn?
That's correct. For 400, in this play by Shakespeare, the title character who sounds like an animated Disney meerkat with a warthog sidekick is a well-off socialite who friends essentially stage an intervention to regarding his partying, so he flees to the wilderness to live in a cave and live off the land.
Okay, so it's spelled the same as the Disney character, but it is not traditionally pronounced the same as Timon and Pumbaa. But what you're asking for is, who is Timon of Athens?
Oh, okay, great.
There you go.
It's a play I did not know.
Mm-hmm. By it's fun. It doesn't get done that often.
Shakespeare.
Because it's like, it doesn't have any notable characters. Like the story is not as like compelling I guess, as other ones. But I do like that play a lot.
Great. And for 500, Gimli and Legolas, who often seemed at odds at the beginning of this three-part series by Tolkien, swear to journey to the caves of Aglarand should they survive the Battle of Helm's Deep and their quest as a whole.
What is the Hunger Games?
Exactly.
I'm kidding. What is the Lord of the Rings?
Correct.
So there you go. Okay. Caves and literature. I like it.
Caves and literature.
Okay. So I was inspired by the name Bear Gulch Caves.
Okay.
Gulch reminded me of Mrs. Gulch.
Mrs. Gulch from The Wizard of Oz.
That's right.
From the Hunger
Games. So the title of this category is called Actress Witch Film.
Oh, okay. Great.
Think of it like actress, comma, witch film, but also actress, witch film. Like,
got it.
Like a wicked witch.
Got it.
So for example, I'm going to give you a quote. Then you have to name the actress, the witch that she's playing, and the film.
Okay.
So it's a three-part answer based all on a single quote.
Okay.
That she says in the movie. So right. I'll get you my pretty and your little dog too.
So it's Margaret Hamilton, The Wizard of Oz. I'm sorry, the actress, the, what was it?
The name of her character.
Oh, The Wicked Witch and The Wizard of Oz.
Right, The Wicked Witch of the
West.
Correct. So that was your example. Great. And I have six clues.
Great. You've done another witchy category recently, so who's the witchy girl now?
Oh, I know, fully. Mm-hmm. For 100, it's the wizard who should be afraid of me.
Who is Cynthia Erivo as the Wicked Witch, as Elphaba, or the Wicked Witch of the West in Wicked.
Correct.
Part one.
I'm sorry, in what movie?
Wicked!
Correct. Anytime we say Wicked, we have to go like, Wicked! The way they do in the movie, or in the musical. Okay, great. For 200, stay at home. I am home. Who out there could love you more than I?
So we're going to go with the film version of this. So who is Meryl Streep as the witch from Into the Woods?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Do I need to sing that?
No, you don't have to. I mean, you can if
who
you...
Who out there could love you more than I?
Get that breath support.
What out there that I cannot supply? Stay with me.
Definitely woke up the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
For 300. Then why are you still bleeding?
Who is Fairuza Balk as Nancy in The Craft?
Correct. For 400.
My favorite little witch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look. Another glorious morning makes me sick.
Who is Bette Midler as Winifred Sanderson in... Witches of Eastwick in Hocus Pocus.
Great. Yeah. For 500, this is where they get a little harder. When I find the star, I shall be young again.
Who is, because I love this graphic novel too, Michelle Pfeiffer as, I don't know her character's name, but what is Stardust?
That's right. Lamia.
Lamia.
Or, yeah. Yeah, I think that's how you say it. And for 600, I dream of a love that even time will lie down and be still for.
I mean, me every day in the mirror.
Who is, this is from a more recent first watch we just had of a witchy film.
Oh. What is Practical Magic?
That is
and Sandra Bullock's character?
Not Sandra Bullock. Oh, Nicole Kidman. Nicole Kidman, whose name is
Sarah. Sally.
Jillian.
Oh.
Yeah. Sandra Bullock is named Sally.
Okay.
Gillian Owens in Practical Magic.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Practical Magic, a movie we only recently just saw. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.